going to start the hour by talking sports, specifically the sale of the Carolina Panthers from Jerry Richardson to David Tepper. $2.2 billion sale that was finalized earlier this week, but there's controversy underneath that because Jerry Richardson sold the team under duress after a widely publicized investigation of sexual harassment and racial slurs and a whole bunch of other bad behavior by the owner of the franchise, Jerry Richardson. Got fined $3 million by the NFL, but sold the team for $2.2 billion and left without an apology. We're joined now by Dr. Debbie Strowman, longtime sports commentator, former college basketball player, star in her own right, and has been following this one really closely since these allegations first came down several months ago, right around the time the team sold. She joins us now on the phone for another round of Strowman on Sports. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. This one is really, really troubling because once again, we have a situation where we have people that do great things. They do wonderful things. They help out the community. They're good family people. You see them on TV. You get to shake their hand. You could actually work with people like this. But then there's another very, very dark side. This thing with Jerry Richardson really hits close to home because I was really moved by his actions in 2015 in June when we had the killings at Mother Bethel Church in Charleston, South Carolina, 9 victims. Jerry Richardson at the time sent $100,000, $10,000 each to each family and $10,000 to the church for memorial. And I was so moved, I wrote a personal letter to Jerry Richardson thanking him for stepping up when he didn't have to, but helping out during a difficult time. And he wrote me back, and I have his signed note back to me. And then here we are, fast forward, and we find out that not only has he done other great things, working with the NFL to bring the Carolinas, the football team, he was definitely a fan favorite, riding around his golf cart, meeting fans and talking to kids. But then we find out that he has been harassing women and people of color. If anybody wants to know the gory details, Sports Illustrated has a nice article speaking with one of the victims and talking about the things that he did to her in his office. And so we have this, I don't want to say it's a controversy. Most people are just very disappointed because he wrote into the contract when he sold the team that no one could move his 13-foot 4,500-pound statue, which basically has people look at him forever until it moves, until the stadium moves. And it's very, very troubling.
Yeah. So and there's a whole bunch of different iterations of this and different kind of important questions and roads that we could go down. But I think what you just said kind of underlines a really significant and I think troubling and complicated thing about just humanity in general, which is that we're all complicated figures. We all do good things and bad things. We all act as good people sometimes and bad people as others. And the good things that we do never erase the bad things that we do, and the bad things we do never erase the good. And that makes it difficult to have conversations about this in which we're asked to issue judgments about, like, just sort of stark judgments about people. This is a horrible, evil person, or this is a wonderful saint who's never done anything wrong. Neither of those are ever true. But to say, oh, he's done all of this amazing stuff is not to take away anything at all from the fact that he has made life extremely difficult for a lot of people and has deeply hurt a lot of people that were close to him.
You're exactly right. And in fact, it just reminds me that it's so important to practice forgiveness because we don't know what situations are happening behind closed doors. We don't know if there's some type of chemical imbalance or mental disease that's taking place. I use the analogy of the drug dealer who is no doubt selling poison, bringing poison to our neighborhoods, but on the same side, then that drug dealer that drug pusher gives out turkeys to people during Thanksgiving when they might not even have a meal. Another example would be our institutions. And I often state during my racial equity workshops that we need to be critical lovers of our institutions. If we lift up United States, we can all name many, many things that United States has done well. Everything from freedom of the press to the right to vote. Just so much. And then on the other side, we could have a laundry list of things that United States has not done so well. It's just a very, very challenging thing. But I think what most people are going to remember that here is a chance for Mr. Richardson to walk away. The NFL, some people would say the NFL investigation of his actions was basically a farce. But the NFL did their investigation. It was very public, and that's why he has to sell the team. So go ahead and just let the statue come down. But mm-hmm. No, he does this one last egotistical thing, and he writes it into the contract. And so it makes people say, as opposed to being selfless, you know, at this time, especially when there's so much selfishness going on, instead he chose the low road.
Yeah.
Which speaks to his ego.
And I think it is. It's a profoundly egotistical thing. And I think that's what is the most frustrating about this, right? That this is a guy who has this long now documented history with the NFL investigation, the Sports Illustrated report, firsthand testimony from a lot of different people and everything else that he did all of these things. But he gets fined $3 million or a little bit less than $3 million by the NFL and then turns around and sells the team for $2.2 billion. Makes it certain that his big old statue is going to stay up and walks away with this very vague statement and no apology whatsoever and kind of rides off into the sunset. And I think the fact that he's doing all of that is the most frustrating thing about this, right?
Well, the timing is not great either.
Mm-hmm.
We all know there are a number of people who are saying, I've had enough with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from their contracts and not having guaranteed contracts like some of the other leagues, although I know there's conversation now to look at, is there a way to bring guaranteed contracts to the NFL? So there's the money issue. And then we talk about the racial dynamic, where we have many players, white and black, who feel that they are exhibiting true patriotism by taking a kneeling during the national anthem to draw attention to police brutality. And so as opposed to the owners being better listeners and putting together policies or leaving the policy alone because it was kind of dying down, instead they double down and do something again to get fans more upset. And then you add the whole Me Too movement and the way it's touching every industry. There's not an industry that's void of this close examination of how men are treating women in the workplace. And right here in sport, right down the road for us, then it happens in Charlotte. And the NFL season, training camp's getting ready to begin. And so you have another reason why people will say, you know what, it's just not worth it. There are other great sports or other things that I could do with my time. I'm going to tune out and maybe watch football in the sense of soccer or some other sports, or maybe just let it go for a while. But the timing could not be worse.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, and we're talking about the sale of the Carolina Panthers, the contract provision leaving the statue of Jerry Richardson up, and Jerry Richardson's response or lack thereof to the documented cases of sexual and racial harassment during his tenure as Carolina's owner, combined with all of the incredibly good things that he did as Carolina's owner, including bringing the team to Carolina, all of the charity work that he did. It's a complicated issue, but it's troubling on all sides. So what do we do as individuals now? Jerry Richardson has sold the team. He's got his $2 billion. He issued his non-statement statement, and he's gone away. And nothing that we say in this conversation is going to change that. So what do we do as individuals now to make the world such that Jerry Richardsons of the future don't feel entitled to behave this way towards women and people of color and everyone else?
Well, I just think it goes to the bigger statement of how we navigate life mm-hmm. in terms of self-care, finding some type of grounding, whether you're religious or spiritual or not, but somewhere where you can look to whether it's yourself or your creator, to say there is a better way, and I would like to be on that side. I would like to be courageous and call out bad behavior and evildoers. But the other thing that we do is we compartmentalize. I think that's how we, most of us, get through life. And when we have tragedies or things that we find to just be vulgar, inappropriate, immoral, some of us are called to action, and hopefully not just with our voice, but with actual direct action. And then others try to manage it. We discuss it with our close friends and family members. We try to gain more information. We do an examination and not just take the surface of what's put out in the media. But for the most part, we say, you know what, that was something that I'm not for, I don't support, but then we go on with our lives. And of course, we all are reminded that we need to protect our children during these time periods, because when those little ones go through the stadium and, you know, the little one points up and says, who is that guy? It's going to be interesting to see how fans handle those types of questions. I'm sure there will be booing if there's any type of reference to Jerry Richardson during the game activities, during the timeouts and things like that. But for the most part, I just think we're just going to take it one day at a time and just be reminded that there are people out there that do these types of things, and just hope that they have a sufficient punishment to match their behavior.
And I think the fact that and I think you're exactly right, if Jerry Richardson is mentioned, there probably will be some booing. And I think that there is a sign of at least kind of larger social progress, that we're moving to a point where it's generally accepted that behaving this way is not okay. I was looking at the Carolina Panthers Twitter account had posted Richardson's farewell statement on their Twitter feed, and I was looking at sort of the thread of many, many comments underneath, and I think the most commonly used phrase in the thread of comments in response to that statement of Richardson's was, "Bye, Felicia." And that's a direct quote. And I think the fact that, like, football fans who are following the Carolina Panthers on Twitter are responding in that way is at least a step in the right direction, even if we still have a long way to go to get to the end point that we want.
That's exactly right. And it's, for those of you who don't know about the Bible, please Google that. But it was first uttered by an actor, and now it's the term when we want people to hashtag sit down, be quiet. And it's the humorous way to kind of say that. But it is good to see that fans are taking the time to do a little bit of research and to say, regardless of what you've done, it does not excuse your behavior towards women and people of color, that money can't buy that type of respect. There still is a level of humanity and kindness out there.
Mm-hmm. And going back to what you had said earlier about critical love, we were both at the Frederick Douglass reading last week, a week ago today at the Carborough Century Center, and William Sturkey from UNC got up and gave his introductory remarks, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first thing that he said was the quote from James Baldwin, "I love my country and therefore I'm going to feel compelled to criticize it relentlessly," right?
That's exactly it, and it's one of my favorite James Baldwin quotes. But oftentimes we feel that patriotism means sitting back and just watching things happen and crossing your fingers that democracy will prevail, as opposed to being patriotic from the beginning of when this country was built, in terms of citizens at that time saying that, no, we will respond with not only our voice, but with our feet. And we will do things to maintain what was then considered a form of democracy. And so people who are patriotic do not sit back. They're looking to do anything possible to preserve dignity and respect for everyone. And certainly, you know, during this time period, with such an ugly thing as what Jerry Richardson did, that we would have more people in that space. And, you know, again, it speaks to the power of social media too, because this, when this stuff comes out now, you get a number of supporters with the hashtag #MeToo in this particular space around sexual violence and abuse.
Dr. Deborah Stroman, thank you so much as always.
Thank you.